today we're going to talk about faith, but from a practical standpoint, what does it look like to have faith in your marriage? What does it look like to have faith for your family, in your calling? A lot of people just don't know. I think people overcomplicate faith.
I agree.
Faith doesn't have, it's not some formula. So your relationship with God spilled over into your marriage, but then also as you had children.
For whatever reason, the school that they picked was out, again, out in the middle of nowhere. It was like the school was built out in the cornfield. He ran one lap and was really fast. And then as he's running that second, everyone could start seeing that he was having problems. I basically just caught him in my arms. He just collapsed. He just ran out of air.
Hey, do you feel like faith is complicated? Because I'm here to tell you, this is the podcast for you if you are feeling that way. In this podcast, we are going to share how to get from point A to point B. Faith is not complicated. And Pastor Barbara has got so many great testimonies to prove to you that it's not. So stick around. Hello. And welcome back to the Purdue Podcast. I'm Pastor Heather Purdue, and this is my mother-in-law, Pastor Barbara Purdue, and we're both pastoring at Caris Christian Center in Colorado Springs. Before we get started, go ahead and hit the subscribe button and the bell so you can get notifications to let you know next time Pastor Barbara will be here, because I'm sure we'll have her back. She has loads of wisdom, and we just have a lot of fun, don't we, Pastor
Barbara?
We do. It's nice that the girls can get together without our husbands so we can actually have a conversation.
That's so true.
We have wonderful husbands, first of all, but they all four of us really love to talk.
I have noticed that. A true thing. So.
Yeah. And today we're going to talk about faith. But from a practical standpoint, and you know, what does it look like to have faith in your marriage? What does it look like to have faith for your family, in your calling? And a lot of people just don't know. I feel like they don't know. But I just want to get started by talking about how Pastor Lawson, I feel like I've heard you tell some of this story before, that you really didn't want to be a speaker because you had some problems speaking at a young age. And I kind of wanted you to share a little bit about that. Like, what happened when you were younger that made you timid about speaking later on in life?
Well, when I was young, as far as in elementary school, very early in elementary school, they did tell me that I had a speech impediment. And I remember going to, like, special classes, but mm-hmm. I don't really remember, you know, what I learned or what they did to empower me. I just feel like you were in and then kind of released. And then even through the course of time, it was numerous occasions I had people in my family or even teachers just tell me I was really stupid and really
dumb. That is crazy.
And so when you have people in authority speak that over you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but what was interesting, when I did begin to learn how to read for myself, I can remember just being 8 or 9 and reading the Bible for myself and reading in Genesis where it says we're made in the image of God. And I had one of those moments when I read that, I thought, I'm not dumb. I'm made in the image
amazing.
Of God. I love how the Word of God sets us free. But I think just, you know, I was very shy and very timid. And then again, you hear that's just, you know, selfish to be shy and timid. I think Andrew Womack has said stuff like that. And I'm like, well, I won't be selfish. But
yeah.
I think I had bought that hook, line, and sinker too. Well, that's just your personality.
Yeah.
Well, again, the Bible says he's not given us a spirit of fear or spirit of timidity.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe just it was really awesome marrying someone who also knew God. I know that we both were attracted to each other, really, because we both love God and we knew that was our purpose to pursue after Him. But it's neat when you can marry someone who's secure enough in themselves
mm-hmm.
to want to share the mic or encourage me to speak. I think sometimes people are insecure and don't want to share.
Yes. I was just telling somebody recently that there is nothing worse than, you know, you think you're miserable single. Mm-hmm. Well, get married to someone who's insecure mm-hmm. and then you'll find out how miserable that is, because that's not fun.
Yeah.
And praise God for people that find out who they are in the Word, and they're so secure in who they are that they will empower other people. I think that's awesome.
I think we've touched just briefly before, but it's really neat. You know, we've talked about how opposites do attract.
Uh-huh.
This is something we've all heard. But it's really neat as far as in a marriage relationship if you can really support the other's giftings, and again, not be insecure, but really know that's their giftings and support them in the in their walk with the Lord and in those giftings and anointings in their life. And that is something, you know, from being around here, my husband has always just shared the mic, which to me is really amazing because he has a lot to say.
He does have a lot to say.
And he's just over the years always handed me the mic and said, you know, take as much time as you want. And I think he knows that I honor the time though too. But I do remember, and you've heard this story even before we were on, we had a TV ministry when he started handing me the mic and he would say, you say something. And I'd be like, you know, not seeing it, but like, are you crazy? And I'd hand the mic back to him and he just didn't stop. And he didn't even let it, you know, stop him from doing that. I think he saw that I had a teaching gift and I know I've always loved reading the word and making little notes. And so it was there, but it's nice when you have people who encourage you on, and especially when it is your spouse, is awesome.
Yes, for sure. What does your tell me, like, what does your relationship with Jesus look like on a day-to-day basis?
You know, I think mine is just so basic. Again, it's nothing like maybe how you were raised in a traditional setting. I believe that, again, we were created in His image, created to have fellowship with Him. And so I love to be outside. I love to take walks. Every now and then here in Colorado, it might be too snowy or icy. Usually even the snow doesn't stop me. But I love to go outside. I love to walk. But whether I'm outside or inside, I love to spend time with God. And that's praying or just praising Him, just worshiping Him, just to tell Him thank you. Mm-hmm. Not even to, I know that I can pour my heart out on Him too, but I love to start by just worshiping Him and just thanking Him. Yeah. And then just, you know, again, talk with Him. And whether it's inside or outside, music is a big part of how I spend time with the Lord.
Yeah.
But I do believe we can hear from Him. Again, if He created us to have a relationship, just like you and I are talking to one another, we've over the course of time when we've done things together, we've talked about different examples in the Bible where God did talk to people and they took time to listen. I think in our culture, people mistake thinking if I'm communing with God or if I'm praying, they think it means they have to do all the talking, but it's okay to just listen. It's important to listen. So,
yeah, I know I like to walk too. I like to be outside, but I like to journal too, because it seems like when I write things down, I just, it's I don't know, it's clearer in my mind. And sometimes I'll hear something immediately back from God and I'll just write it down. And I love that. I think people overcomplicate faith.
I agree.
Faith doesn't have, it's not some formula. It's just like you said, it's just having a relationship with God. And you've had that. What, you tell a story about when you were little, when you were laying down outside. What, how does that story go?
This is when I, again, was probably in elementary school a little, and this is before we even went to a spirit-filled church, going to a traditional church, and I just always had a special relationship with the Lord. And I can remember playing with my toys out in the front yard. I had that Barbie camper, and I was playing outside. I had a visitation from Jesus, our the Lord. There,
that's amazing.
There, he was on the ground, like how parents do.
Oh, like laying on his
lay
side.
On where you prop your head up, and his legs were crossed. And it wasn't like I was just staring at the Lord, but His presence was there, and I was aware. It's like when your daughter. You know, Ada's five and she's playing and she's looking at her toy. She's aware you and her daddy are there, but they're not really staring at you because they're playing with their toys. And I was aware that the Lord was there with his hand there on his, you know,
cheek
and head there, and his legs were crossed. And I remember Him saying, I'm proud of you and I love you. And I can remember, and I didn't look up. I just was playing. I remember saying, thank you. And then after that, you know, He was gone, but He was there for a period of time enjoying watching me play, just like how a parent does.
That is amazing.
And hear Him say, I'm, you know, I'm proud of you and I love you. And I can remember saying, thank you.
That is so awesome. And that to me is a perfect picture of what does faith look like? Well, that's what faith looks like to me. It's just having a relationship with God. And when you are aware of His presence, I love that it's, the Bible says in His presence, there's fullness of joy. And
Amen.
You're going to be in joy when you know that you're spending time with the Lord. And if you don't have joy, maybe you're not spending time with the Lord. But either way, when you're in his presence, he's going to give you direction. Mm-hmm. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to help you.
That's right.
And people, I think, sometimes are so busy seeking the wisdom, seeking the help, seeking the provision, that they get their wires crossed and they start seeking the wrong thing, when really they should just be seeking the presence of God, because that's where your answers are.
Amen.
Wouldn't you say?
No, I like that. I like what you just shared. And then I think, too, it's important to know that we need to know that we can go to God for the answers, that God is not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, that's been a false teaching where
it
has been taught that, you know, God does these things to teach you something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even a parent wouldn't do all these things that people accuse God of.
That's true.
And that's just really not understanding his true nature or being taught lies.
Yeah.
God is my answer. He is not my problem.
Yeah. And I think since you have had that relationship with God, even since you were a little girl, I think that just really set you up for, I mean, you got married to Pastor Lawson when you were 19.
He was 19. I was 20.
You're just like
a few months old. I was born in February. He's born
in June.
And so we're not, you know, graduated the same year. And I think both of us as children had a lot of responsibility. I had younger siblings that I helped take care of. By the time I met and married him, you know, he grew up on this Arabian horse ranch. So they farmed wheat and oats, but then also had all these livestock. And, you know, his father died when he was 17.
Mm-hmm.
Then right before we were married, his grandmother died. And as each family member died, they weren't replaced. He kept doing his job and took over their responsibilities.
Wow.
So as a 19-year-old, he was running this huge family operation basically by himself, you know, along with his grandfather. But his grandfather at the time we got married was grieving the loss of his wife. He had already lost both sons in the prime of their lives and now lost his wife.
Oh my gosh.
And so a lot of responsibility. Even my mother-in-law just poured it on. I mean, he really had a lot going on when he was just 19 years old and running this huge operation basically by himself.
Well, praise God that you married somebody who is a hard worker.
That's right.
He needs a job, ladies. He needs a job. Make sure he has a job.
There you go.
And I love how, you know, so your relationship with God spilled over into your marriage, but then also as you had children. I love one of my all-time favorite stories of faith that I've heard you talk about. One of your testimonies is when Andrew, your middle son, was at a track meet and he had been dealing with some asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us that story. I want to hear it from you.
Well,
I don't want to tell the whole story and then be like, what do you think?
Well, you set it up very well. So our middle son just was plagued and oppressed with just asthma, and it was terrible. This is when we had started church in Kit Carson, and so it was very small agriculture area. And so this town is very, like I said, very little, not more than 300 people. So there was nothing there anyway. There's no police station.
Yeah.
No.
Some of these little towns in Colorado are like just,
they're
out in the middle of nowhere.
Right. They don't have the things that you have in the city. My point is there was no hospital there. There's no doctor's office. So if you have something happen, you have to drive to the next small town that might have just the bare basics.
Yeah.
And so that was just kind of the situation. So when he would have something happen that required medical attention, we'd have to drive somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But we were involved in this track meet. So it's when, if you remember growing up, it's when a lot of schools come together, maybe at the end of the school year for this track meet. And for whatever reason, the school that they picked was out in the middle of nowhere. There's other people in our church that were also familiar with this area. It was like the school was built out in the cornfield. I mean, there is not even a city there. It's just like a school out in the middle of the country. And so the nearest small town that had a little tiny hospital, basically where they just patch you up and send you somewhere bigger, was 40 minutes away. And this is like where, again, if you call 911, it's like volunteer
paramedics, first responders,
like they have to get off their job.
Yes.
Go get the ambulance. And so, you know,
that's crazy.
We're way out in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And so he was running that half mile. He ran one lap and was really fast. And then as he's running that second, everyone could start seeing that he was having problems.
Yeah.
He just wasn't right. And I think everyone, it's funny how you can sense when there's something serious, like a medical emergency happening. And
yeah.
People could sense it, that something was wrong. But he didn't stop running. He wanted to finish that finish line. And so I actually met him there. Mm-hmm. And again, this is when he's in elementary school. I'm thinking probably fifth grade or so. Fifth, sixth grade. But anyway, he was little, but I basically just caught him in my arms. He just collapsed. He just ran out of air.
Yeah.
And his eyes rolled back in his head. He was turning all sorts of colors. And it was just a very, again, because if what I just explained to you, everyone else knew too.
Yeah.
You're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
I think they say
this is looking kind of bleak.
If you have a medical emergency regarding people aren't breathing, you have 3 to 4 minutes to remedy it. And we're 40 minutes from the nearest small little town. So it doesn't matter if you call 911.
Yeah.
It isn't going to do anything.
Yeah.
And so one of his little friends came up to me. You know, small communities are very tight-knit and very helpful. But one of his little classmates came up to me and said, well, where's Andrew's inhaler? I'll go get it. Because with having asthma, he had an inhaler. But we were way beyond an inhaler moment anyway. But it dawned on me. And I said it out loud. I said, well, I forgot it. And this little boy, you know, in front of everybody, just said, what kind of mother are you? And rather than feeling condemned, which, you know, there's the devil who wants to just condemn you and smear you in these types of moments. Like what kind of, I think a lot of parents watching right now can totally identify with all what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
What kind of mother are you? Or
maybe
someone else has told you that, but I didn't say it out loud, but my spirit was roused and I thought, I'm the kind of mother that knows how to pray.
Yeah, praise God.
And I began to pray for him and rebuke that and pray for his esophagus and just pray and rebuke. And I didn't scream, I didn't yell, but I just took authority.
Yes.
Because what else was, there was no other option.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just no other option.
Yes.
And I love that when God is it, God shows up.
Yes, he does.
And so then he eventually began to breathe and became conscious again. And we just kind of walked him around. And I would say after that, I don't ever remember him having an asthma attack ever again.
Yeah.
And I love that when God touches us, when God heals our body, you know, he went on to be a powerful athlete. This is just a testimony to God to as a little boy, to be plagued with asthma, go on. And I believe my husband was saying when he played football in high school, he was one of the number one running backs. Then when he was a senior, him and his youngest brother, Peter, went to state running track, the 4x1, and won it with two other teammates.
Yeah.
I mean, won it and set records.
Yes.
And so I love it that, you know, when God shows up and touches us, he doesn't just heal us part way. He heals us and says, this is what I do for my children, that this isn't going to hold you back.
Yes.
And I will tell you too, Heather, and you might have some good things to share too, but what has helped me when you're believing for something, especially healing, because sometimes it might happen the first time you pray. Sometimes it might be a process.
Mm-hmm.
And this was definitely one of those things where it was a process. So we wrote out, or I wrote out, healing scriptures on index cards, and I hung them up on every bedroom door. I hung them up on the mirror in the bathroom. I hung them up on the refrigerator. I hung them up on the sink, the window above our kitchen sink, basically everywhere our eye level hit.
Yeah.
So rather than see these negative circumstances,
yes,
I saw the word of God.
Yes.
And so when that moment hit, what kind of mother are you? Everything that I had put in me, put in my spirit over, this was a period of time. That's what came out, because the word is like a seed that we can plant.
It is.
And it will bring forth a harvest.
Yeah. And it, like, when you're sitting here telling me this story, I've heard this story a few times. And so it's funny because this time was different in that the first few times that I heard the part where the other child says, what kind of a mother are you? I would think to myself, who says that? You know, like, that's what I would think. I'm getting offended at this kid, you know. But this time it was almost like, it's like a Holy Ghost prompting you, like, remember, what kind of a mother are you? I'm the one that prays. You praise God, you know? And I've had those same moments in my life where Actually, this just happened to me. I think I might have shared this on the podcast. I don't know. But there was, you know, I've been walking every day and I've been trying to do it for 75 days in a row. But about like halfway through, I had this really bad pain in the bottom of one of my foot. And I Googled it, and I shouldn't have done that, but I did. And it was like some type of nerve pain. And I saw that. And as soon as I didn't read too much into it, but as soon as I saw it, I was like, I don't think so. I'm not doing that.
Right.
And it was hurting pretty bad. Like I couldn't hardly walk around barefooted. I had to have on like a shoe that had a soft sole.
Right.
But the next day I was like, I'm not doing that. And you know, I didn't feel like that Holy Ghost prompt, that what kind of a mother are you prompt. I just thought, I'm gonna get out here and I believe that I'm healed, so I'm gonna get out here and walk. But I started walking and I just started praying over my body and confessing that, you know, the blood of Jesus cleanses me, and I'm the curse is not coming anywhere near my body, and no weapon formed against me will prosper. And by the time I got back to the house, that it was completely gone. But before that, it felt like I had a knot in my foot almost. Like I even thought, do I have a splinter in there that's gotten, it was weird. But anyway, it's completely healed just within 30 minutes. What I've learned is that you do have to keep putting the word in on a continual basis, even when you might be not in need, like everything's going good and you think, oh, it's okay, I can just coast. You better not, because there's going to be a moment, right, when you're going to need a harvest off of that word that you've been putting in your heart.
It's just important to spend time in the word daily.
Uh-huh.
And it really does power you up.
It does power you up.
You know, just like we need to eat food on a regular basis to remain healthy, we need to stay feeding on his word on a regular basis. And I love what you said. I love that really we can come together and learn from one another. And I love how the Bible talks about how the older women are to teach the younger women. And I have a friend who's 81, and you reminded me of her just now because she mentioned one time a hip was kind of acting funny, and she said, and I told my hip, stop it.
Yeah.
And it did. You know, in other words, she's like, I'm not going to put up with this.
Yes.
And it stopped.
Yeah, because your soul, you're a trifold being, so you're a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body, but your soul and your body should come under submission to your spirit.
That's right.
And that's a lot of people don't realize that really our spirit outweighs our mind, will, and emotions in our body every single time. And I've found that when I stay, saturated in the word, that when things come against me, I have those moments where I'm like, oh no, I don't think so.
Amen.
I do not think so. And I think that's important, too, because sometimes we don't see eye to eye with our spouse. And you have a really good story about when you told Pastor Lawson not to buy some cattle, and he bought them.
So what's really interesting about this, and we've kind of done our own little survey, and he has said, I've learned to listen to my wife. Again, we all have different giftings, and it's for safety and for a reason. But what was so interesting about this story, it's when we're newly married. I mean, we didn't have children yet. We were married 3 years before our first one was born. And so this was pretty young in our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you know it, and everyone knows I was raised in the city. My husband was raised in the country, and all I knew about cattle is, you know, you flip a burger and how do you want it? You know, medium rare or what done? Well done.
Have it your way.
Yeah. And so, have it your way. And I was just like, I didn't really know much about this cattle industry from the agriculture side. And so anyway, he was all excited about an opportunity to buy some cattle. And there was just something in my spirit that just said, no, like that. Like, like if you saw me headed for a quicksand or something, you'd be like, stop.
Yes. Don't do
you would be trying to tell me ahead, warn me.
Yes.
And so as he was just talking about this, and he was very excited about it, and then there's something in my spirit was just like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, honey, I keep hearing this, like, no, don't do it. And then, you know, because of how he thinks, and again, his experience in agriculture, he kept asking me this question, well, tell me why you keep saying don't.
Yeah.
Or like, why do you keep telling me that?
Why.
And I mean, I'm like, there was nothing else than no.
Why.
I mean, there was no explanation.
Yeah.
Just like, no,
uh-huh.
don't do it. It was like a warning, like just, it just kept coming up to me like, no.
Yeah.
Like maybe when you are trying to stop someone.
Yeah.
From an oncoming whatever, and mm-hmm. you can't really get the words out, and the butt, it's just like, no.
I don't have time to explain to you why.
I don't have time to say the rest. But anyway, I had absolutely no explanation
mm-hmm.
because again, and then I think just him knowing that I have no background.
Yeah.
And then, so then he was really sweet. So then he wrote it all out. Like, okay, this
like
is
the pros and the cons.
Well, no, this is why this is a good deal.
Oh,
he
yeah.
wrote it out
oh.
so he could show me
bless
on
him.
Paper. Like, no, this is why this is just like, we can't lose type deal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because maybe how much they would weigh and how much it was going to cost and
oh,
how much
yeah.
it would cost to feed them or whatever. He wrote it all out on paper. How this was a win-win.
Did you just come back and say, no.
Well, no, I just said, every time you say you want to buy these cattle,
yeah.
I keep hearing, no.
Yeah.
And he would just look at me like you just like did with your
yeah,
like, your eyebrows. Like,
mm-hmm. Are you sure?
Well, why? Like, why yeah. can't you explain it to me? And I'm like, I don't know. So this was very much a supernatural thing because what happened is the cattle, he went ahead and did it.
Yeah, because it looked good on paper.
And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm just like, I didn't.
So
grow
what
up.
Do you remember what was going on in your mind between, like, after he came back and said, "Well, I bought him."
No,
wait, what
no,
did you? What were you like?
It didn't bother me because, again, I understood that I had no background
with cattle.
And cattle.
Yeah,
it was
so
just
you thought,
more.
Well, maybe he's right.
Well, I just was like, again, I'm aware that I married a Christian husband.
Yeah.
We do have, like what you just explained, a flesh and a body, but we do have a spirit.
We do, yeah.
And I don't think he ever mingled that together.
Mm.
He was going from a natural mind.
Yeah.
And not understanding where I was. And we hadn't been married that long. So I wasn't saying, thus saith the Lord, honey.
Right.
I'm operating in a gift right now. It was just, you know what
it's
I mean?
It's a word of wisdom.
This is a word of, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
It was just like, no, it was like a, you know, and I mean, I mean, to give him a little credit, I couldn't explain anything.
Right.
Like I said, you know, I've been around people that will say, and thus saith the Lord, Heather.
Yeah.
You are to only wear navy blue.
Yeah.
Because the Lord told me, and I'm not making fun of people, but
no.
I'm just saying I had no deliverance like that.
Right.
It was just like, no.
Yeah.
Not like, and this is the voice of the Lord.
Yeah. But did you get mad at him?
I know. I wasn't mad at all because I thought,
awesome.
Well, you grew up this way.
Yeah.
So ultimately it's you're just, I, you know, yield it to him.
Mm-hmm.
I know that he's a good husband, submitted to God too.
So God will work it out.
And so God will work it
yeah,
out.
Amen.
But it wasn't like he listened to me, but I couldn't explain. And
yeah.
again, when we're talking about, I didn't think of this was a word of wisdom, or I was just, all I could say is, is no.
Yeah.
And I wasn't into, I didn't understand how to communicate it any other way. And
yeah.
so he was communicating from a natural experience.
Mm-hmm.
And on paper, it would have been win-win.
Yeah.
But what's interesting to me is how God knows things.
Mm-hmm.
Like God knew the heart of this cattle buyer.
Yeah.
He knew he was up to no good because
yeah.
he'd stole our cattle.
Mm-hmm.
He stole cattle from his father-in-law. It wasn't just us. And so he had been planning this. And this person, I mean, had been in a cattle buyer for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would think this would have been all a dependable situation.
Yeah.
There was no red flags to
right.
be seen in the natural. But he even surprised his own wife and her family.
Did Pastor Lawson know this guy before?
I don't really know. But I think, you know, he fled the country, fled to Mexico. And just the interesting story is he came back to go to a dentist. And that's how he was caught.
Oh, they caught
and
him.
And in prison. But
they caught him years later,
yeah,
too, right?
Yeah, so it's a very bizarre thing. And so at the time, I didn't feel hurt that he didn't listen to me because
yeah.
I thought, well, I didn't grow up in the cattle business.
Yeah.
I can't tell you why.
Yeah.
All I know is the answer is no. And then he was the one who's, you know, and I really didn't want anyone to feel like I was making fun of, you know, different gifts in the body, but
no, I don't think it came across.
No, it's so, but just so I think this is when my husband learned that was a gift the Lord
oh,
had
you
used
have.
That,
yeah.
you know, that I can hear from God and it's a spiritual thing. It's just,
mm-hmm.
I seriously could not communicate like this is a Holy Ghost moment, honey. Mm-hmm. All I heard was no.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, like I said, I grew up in a traditional background and I had been going to a faith believing church for a period of time, but not really enough to say it. And I really think this is a gift of the Spirit.
I really think
honey.
This is a word. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't say
what
that.
What would you say to women who know, like maybe a woman that's spiritually mature, and she has a word like that for her husband, but her husband just won't listen to her over and over and over again?
Well, I don't know about over and over again. I feel like my husband learned the first time.
Oh, no, I know he did. But I think sometimes women are in marriages where maybe their husband doesn't listen to them as much. And I feel like sometimes that can be a recipe for disaster. Mm. And I think that can turn into like leaving, submitting to your husband, but then also wanting to do what's right. You know, what the Lord, you know, the Lord's got wisdom for us. I just feel like sometimes they can get wrapped up in like bitterness. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would just let God do some
just
of that
trust
intervening.
God. Yeah.
Because when you talk about, again, submitting, the Bible says a wife is to submit to her own husband as he is submitted to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so if you have in other words, I was aware that my husband loved God.
Right.
And he was in his knowledge, best of his knowledge, submitted. But you just know that God's going to help work all that out. I'm just glad that my husband was a fast learner. And that was a fast learning moment for him because then, you know, he saw the fruit of it. And,
yeah.
But like I said, I wasn't able to like communicate that it was a super.
Articulate what was going on.
That was kind of a new thing for both of us. And I think. I believe that marriage is grounded in God's love. I believe that they learn and grow together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like I think
you, as a wife, you have to be careful not to, if you do have a word from God and maybe your husband's not on board with that.
I would give
it
to God.
Trust God that he's going to work it out. And I think that he will. Mm-hmm. But don't take the seat of the Holy Spirit.
No, I would just give it to God. And, and you've known me long enough that ultimately, and my husband appreciates this about me, I understand that I have a husband and he is a Christian, mm-hmm. but ultimately I look to God as my source, and my husband loves it. Like, I'm like, I don't want someone to look to me as their source.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very blessed that I have an amazing husband who knows the word of God and his responsibilities.
Yes.
But ultimately he knows I look to God as my source. If it happens through him, great. And if it happens...
I know you actually have a really good testimony of this. So you have a lot of good testimonies, by the way. But this one I love because sometimes as husband and wife, we don't see eye to eye on what needs are versus wants.
Yeah.
You know, we're taught what needs and wants are. Mm-hmm. And sometimes as a wife and you're in the home, sometimes you have some needs, but the husband doesn't really see them as necessary. Mm-hmm. And I'm referring to the time that you were believing God for a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked Pastor for a vacuum. And he said what?
Well, again, this is when we were first married.
Yeah.
And he tells
this.
This
is in your book, in y'all's book, too. You have Uncommon Favor.
Oh, Uncommon
which is
Favor
really good.
Is a book my husband wrote, but really it's our story.
I know. You always say that.
And
it's
I think
so true.
He learned that I really have a spirit of faith. Again, because I don't get offended.
You don't
times,
get offended, no.
People... Again, you know, they're offended at the church or they're offended at their boss or they're offended at the government because they feel like they are owed and due'd something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God is my source. If it happens through those avenues, great. But God is my source.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were married, my husband tells the story that he made $800 a month. He was already committed to giving $200 to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had a $300, you know, house payment for our trailer. And, you know, you can just start doing the math. There's not a whole bunch left over. And both of us do believe in living within your financial means and believe God for the rest.
Yeah.
But we, when we got married, we just never... You know, those were the years we didn't have like this fancy wedding registry. I remember people, the gifts that were given then were placemats and toasters. And so, you know, it's just very basic. Simple things. And so there is no vacuum. And eventually, especially living out in the country. And I mean, there's
it's dusty.
You can
there.
Borrow the, family nearby and all that. But I said, eventually, I'm like, honey, we really need our own vacuum. I don't even really remember what he said about it. I just, again, I didn't look at him as my problem.
Yeah.
I just didn't look, you are not my problem. Mm-hmm. I will get a vacuum. It will happen.
Yeah.
And I just looked to God. And so shortly after that, the vacuum salesman came through the countryside and and my his grandfather bought me one. And so we still have it to this day.
That's awesome.
And so, like I said, I don't ever, even though we were married young, mm-hmm. he didn't frustrate me in those moments because, again.
Yeah, because God was your source.
I think because being a child and my parents going through a divorce mm-hmm. and being, again, a child where the adults in your life were not able to provide for you, yeah. I just learned at a young age that there is a source who is faithful, mm-hmm. and that is the Lord.
And he cares about the little things, and he too.
The Bible says he will give you the desires of
Amen.
Your heart.
Even a vacuum.
A vacuum. I can't remember how many times I've been to a store or been somewhere or something has happened, and it's just what I wanted, and it was like one left, and it was just there for me.
Oh, you should tell him the story about the time you got a pair of free shoes.
Oh, that's a good story, too.
That is a good story.
So it was just one of those days I was like, huh, let's just go. We would hardly ever go to the mall just to goof off or go to a store and shop. I'm like, let's just go to get out and do something different. Yeah. And so I had a whole pile of shoes and I was just trying them on for fun. And there was someone going through the store saying, they said I can give my pair away for free. They said I could give my pair of shoes away for free. And my husband's like, what is that you're saying? And so there was a special shoe deal going on that if you bought one, you could get another pair of shoes for free. And she's like, I only need one pair. And so she had picked what she wanted to buy was a pair of Echoes, which is a high-end shoe.
Yeah.
And in my pile of shoes, I happened to have one pair of Echoes that was, you know, comparable to the same price.
Yeah.
And so I thought, this is awesome. And of course, my husband was very nice and we offered to pay our half.
Yeah.
And she was just like offended. No, they said I could give my pair away for free. And so I literally got a free pair of Echoes, never worn, never used, brand new pair of shoes at the mall. And so if God can do that for me, mm-hmm. he can do that for anybody.
Yes,
if you look to him
Amen.
As your source.
Mm-hmm. That is so good. And that's really like what I wanted to get through to people with this episode of the podcast about faith, that it's not a hard thing. Mm-hmm. Like people make faith into some type of work or formula, and it's not. It's just about us having a relationship with God, and he will meet those needs, and he'll even get the needs met sometimes even before we realize we need them.
That's right.
You know?
That's what it says in Isaiah.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, just like when I moved here, I wasn't believing for a husband. I didn't even want to get married again. Mm-hmm. But it's a good thing for your son to have a dad.
Yes.
It's a good thing for a woman not to have to be a widow.
Right.
You know, and God supplied me a great husband who happens mm-hmm. to be your son. And before I even knew that I really needed or even wanted that. Mm-hmm. And he's just so good. Faith is not a hard thing. But first we have to realize that he is our provider. He wants
Amen.
To be our provider.
He does.
And he's not holding out on us.
That's right.
And I think you should tell one last story because I think this brings home the fact that God is fine with having us provided for.
Correct.
He's fine with provision. And Pastor Lawson, that was something that he had to learn,
mm-hmm.
you know, with his one fry story, one French fry story. And I think that really changed his whole life and his whole trajectory of his ministry, even just knowing that there's no lack, there's nothing too big for God,
right?
You know? And mm-hmm. so somebody invited y'all to a conference or something.
Right. So another pastor, because of we had given to a certain missionary, that's kind of how it started. They're like,
yeah,
okay, you gave to this missionary, so I want to invite and pay for you to stay in a hotel.
Yes.
We were pastoring Kit Carson. And so this special meetings was in Denver, Colorado. And so they invited us with the invitation that they would provide the hotel. And
yeah.
And so that was great. And so we went and we had the whole family. There was something for they had ministry for the kids
uh-huh.
and we were in meetings and it really was refreshing. But there was this one speaker, an evangelist. I love how evangelists kind of have that gifting as they teach. They always share some over-the-top illustration or story
mm-hmm.
that seems to punch those buttons.
They stretch you a little bit.
They stretch you. And so it was actually Mark and Trina Hankins, but it was Mark Hankins ministering. And and he just used this example of, you know, he was wanting to buy his wife a brand new car. And the salesperson said, well, you know, we have it in this color and it'd be less money and I can give you a better deal here. But he's like, no, you know, we want this certain color. And so he was like paying you like full price for this, you know, new
instead
car.
Instead of taking the deal.
Instead of, and of course, my husband, you know, grew up with two sets of.
He's all about a deal.
He's about a deal.
But he's not about a deal because he wants to be cheap. It's a game to him. He just loves it. It's like a game of hide and seek or something.
I think part of it too is growing up out in the country with two sets of grandparents that went through the Great Depression.
Yeah.
And it was just the culture he grew up in the country that you helped one another out and you dickered and you traded your goods and kind of learned that from the grandfather that he worked alongside all those years and listening to his stories and watching that's how. But again, the people who went through the Great Depression, that was not uncommon to trade goods and to work with people where they're at. So that was kind of a culture thing, I believe, that he grew up with out in the country with these grandparents. Mm-hmm. And we talk about, both of us had grandparents that had homes, like two-bedroom homes, very modest compared to how people live now.
Yeah.
And so he just grew up in that setting. Mm-hmm. And I think somewhere along the line, he grew up with that thinking that, you know, you can buy a new car, but the moment you drive it off the lot,
it's depreciating.
It's depreciated $10,000.
Yeah.
Again, it's, you know, the agricultural where, you know, you might have income once a year when you sell your goods. That's a once a year. It's not, you know, people like live paycheck to paycheck. We'll try living from once a year to once a year. And so, anyway, you have to pace yourself.
Yeah.
And so he was just listening to this message. I can't even remember what the title. I was just like, yes, that's in the
You're
word.
You're like, that's exactly.
I was just, it was really firing me up. I thought, this is so good. I believe that's in the word. You know, God wants us to really live the Ephesians 3:20.
Yes.
Above and beyond what you could hope or exceedingly above what you could hope or ask or think.
Yes.
That's the kind of relationship I had with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he grew up again in the country where you had to make things last a year, you know, it's just the whole, I believe, part of the culture and part of what had been imparted from his grandparents. And so when he was listening to this, I knew, I didn't even look at him.
You could feel it.
Sitting next to him. I knew
the
evangelist used that car as an example.
Yeah.
That would send him over the edge. But again, I knew that he's a Christian and he loved God and he loved the word.
Yeah.
And so again, it doesn't bother me what people think. I can think what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And what you think doesn't have to hold me back.
Amen.
So that's just how
I
thought about
word.
It.
That's a good word.
Yeah. So as we left the conference, this was like the last day, and we left and we stopped at fast food and he ordered, and he even said this, I ordered it because it was my money and I didn't want anyone to spend too much of my money. That's just where he was in his thoughts. And so he ordered, you know, one meal and then just little hamburgers. And but, you know, just so you know, it was plenty of food for everyone.
Oh, yeah. Nobody was starving.
Nobody was starving. Yeah. But it was one of those deal where, only, you know, we all got a hamburger, but there was only one box of fries.
Yeah.
And so he wanted He wanted to go wash his hands. So while
he
was
gone.
He
loves French fries too.
I love illustrated sermons. I think we all learn a lot.
Yes.
And I love how the Holy Ghost talks to us.
Uh-huh.
And then I thought, he needs an illustrated sermon.
Uh-oh.
And so I took the box of French fries and I divvied it out and gave each of the three sons who were little, they're all in elementary school.
Yeah.
So they're very happy. I gave them each the exact amount. And maybe I ate one, I don't even remember, but I purposely just left one fry in the box and put it at his place. And so he saw, and I didn't make eye contact, but I could tell from the corner of my eye that he immediately saw that box with one French fry. I just knew he saw it. And so when he came to the table, he picked it up and he's like, what is this? And I said, you can be a one French fry guy if you want to be, but God has more for me. And I just left it. And he said, you know, said it louder, yell. I just said, you know, you can be that if you want.
Yeah.
It's not going to, I think I even said, it's not going to change God's love for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a one French fry man, but God has more for me. In other words, I'm believing.
Amen.
And, you know, we can still respect one another,
yes,
be kind
can.
To one another, mm-hmm. but where you are in your faith walk does not have to hold me back.
That's right.
And we can still love each other and pray that everyone grows wherever. You don't have to get so caught up if people, you know what I mean? I wasn't hurt or offended. That's just where he was at.
Yeah. And,
but I'm like, man, my fire was ignited and nothing's going to stop this fire.
Yeah. You're like, I'm excited. God has a lot for me.
Yeah.
And nothing's going to hold me back.
No.
I know. Isn't that amazing? And that's so freeing to know that your provision doesn't stop where somebody else is.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know what? I bet that was probably the last time anybody paid for you guys to, your whole family to go to.
Correct.
To a conference.
Right.
Now you guys help pay for other people to go places.
Isn't that awesome? Amen.
And support how many ministries? Like
a lot.
Over 30, I think.
So I think you nailed it really well. You explained it very well, how it was very life-changing for him because God had places for him to go. Mm-hmm. He, again, with that culture of being raised in the country and just wanting to help people. If you want to help people, it takes finances.
It does.
And if you're stuck in the mud or stuck in a rut, it's going to really limit how much you can help or how much you can do getting the gospel out or helping and partnering with other ministers or other pastors. And and so something had to change. And that was part of it, that little illustration. But then as he spent time with the Lord said that evangelist was right. Mm-hmm. You're wrong. In other words, his religious spirit. Sometimes we can, all of us can have something we're hanging on to.
Oh, 100%.
Something that's a dead religious belief that came from traditions of man.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how that evangelist poked that.
Yeah.
And praise God, you know, he spent time with the Lord. I mean, within 24 hours, he had a full, you know, turnaround. Like, okay, he was right. I was wrong. Here's an area that I have been wrong in.
Yeah.
And it has been brought to light.
Yeah.
And he chose to learn more and receive it.
Yes. And I think some people get so offended when you start talking about prosperity or provision. And the first thing they'll do is get their judgment stick out and say, no, you've made money, your God. If you believe in prosperity, then you're worshiping money. I do not worship money. I know you guys don't worship money. And we, you know, together and even in our church, we're still very frugal. We like nice things, but we're not like that. Money's not our God.
Money is
God is
not,
our God.
It's a tool.
It's a tool.
It's a tool, and it's something you need here on this system on this planet. It's a
to get the gospel.
A system.
Out.
We don't need money in heaven. I'm aware of that. I am not motivated by money.
No, you're actually a very content person.
I am very content. I worked full time in the ministry for years. I say 20. My husband says 15, but let's just say 15 to 20 years. I worked and didn't receive pay. And I have people get mad at me when I say this, but I said, I didn't care. I wasn't doing it for money. Money is not my motivator. It's the love of Christ that compels me.
Yes. Amen.
But I am aware that we live on a planet where you have to have money to pay for utilities or pay for, you know, to provide for your children. I'm not ignorant, but it's not the motivator. But what's awesome with that life-changing moment for my husband, again, and just that culture of wanting to help people, you know, there's a couple of young pastors that we helped, you know, before and during that COVID. Really, it helped happen right before COVID. They were, one in particular in Kansas City was using a school, and we said, you need to get your own place. You need to get your own place. And we helped him, you know, secure that loan. And then, you know, COVID hit and the school was closed. He could have possibly even lost his congregation.
Yeah.
I mean, he would not have had a place to meet.
He wouldn't have had anywhere,
And with the other pastor, too, because they've changed the banking laws. Like, you have to have so many years of records. But if you're starting a church, you don't have years
don't have
of records
years.
Of income. And so we helped these people, and it has worked out tremendously well for everyone, but it's neat to be in that place where you can come alongside someone who is called to do it, but just does need a little bit of help. And of course, we've helped build over 80 churches in another country, India. We've helped in Congo. And it takes money.
It does.
And it doesn't mean that we love it or worship it, but it is a tool. And we are all very frugal. And I've told my husband, we both, I love to get a good deal too. I live in a home that we paid $67 a square foot. Right now, there is actually a home in my neighborhood That is over $700 a square foot.
Oh my gosh.
Now, do you think God cares if you pay over $700 or if you pay $67 a square?
He cares.
He doesn't care.
Mm-mm.
But he just knows Lawson and Barbara would rather pay $67
yeah,
a square
foot. I would rather
foot.
Pay that.
That's what I'd rather. Because to us, it is fun. But my husband did grow up, like I said, with grandparents who made it through the Great Depression. Yeah. And you learn how to be resourceful. You learn how to be frugal. There's mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
but again, God responds to our faith.
Yeah. And it's going to be really hard for your faith to work if you're constantly judging other people.
I don't know why. I guess it is that the more of a spirit of religion.
Maybe.
Why that just makes people angry
mm-hmm.
when somebody does something or, you know, actually has money to pay their bills. You think you'd be excited that someone can pay their bills or provide a roof for their family.
And bless other people.
Or bless
other
people.
You know, I know, and I know you've been on the other side where you didn't have enough mm-hmm. money, or you had enough money just to barely get mm-hmm. by. But I have been there. But personally, I feel like it is God's best for us to be overflowing in the area of finances.
It's in His Word.
Yeah, and the reason why is because I enjoy tithing. I mm-hmm. enjoy getting to bless other people. And because when you get to give, then that you get to do something that God is a giver.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to actually take part in an aspect of who He is. He's the ultimate giver.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's awesome. That's a lot of fun, but we are well over our time.
It's been a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun. But so this was our little message talking about faith. So we really hope that this message has built your faith up. You know, the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we have lots of testimonies to share, and we have even more to come, praise God. So if you liked this podcast, please subscribe. Please hit the bell, the notification bell, so you'll know that we're airing what we're airing next. And we hope to see you soon.